Okay, Parshas Toldos begins. Ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram holidays Yitzchak, that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. And Rashi comments that the late Zanei Hador, the clowns would say that it was from Avimelech that Sarah Imenu became pregnant. Now the question has to be raised, why are they referred to as the late Zanei Hador, as the clowns of the generation, and not the Rishei Hador, the evil ones of the generation? After all, what they were doing was completely disgusting. So the Beis Halevi explains that had the 90-year-old Sarah Imenu given birth to Avimelech's baby instead of Avram's baby, it clearly wouldn't have been any less miraculous. And moreover, it was nonsensical to assume that Avimelech, who's taking care of Sarah, who's taking of Sarah instead of taking care of her, caused a national fertility difficulty. Ki atzorah tzara Hashem. As kol rechem lebeis Avimelech, every woman in the Plishti nation was unable to have children, and now all of a sudden we're going to assume that he was responsible for the birth of Yitzchak? That seemed ridiculous. That even the people understood was utter nonsense. So the people merely joked about it. It was just a question when they used to say, yeah, me Avimelech nesabra sara. They didn't mean it. It wasn't a situation that was believed. They joked about it. But lest anyone revisit this period historically and decide that there was truth to the rumor, the Torah tells us, Avram holded es Yitzchak, Hashem made them look the same, so that there'd be no question. We read about the two children, Esav and Yaakov. And when Avram Avinu dies, according to the Medrash, Esav comes in and he says, Haliteni namen ha'adom ha'adom ha'azeh, feed me from this red stuff, ki ayef anochi. And Rashi notes that Esav wouldn't even eat on his own, that's how tired he was. He wanted it shoved into his mouth. And the question is, what's the benefit in that? And what kind of motivation is tiredness for eating? We normally eat because we're hungry, not because we're tired. So Rabbi Benny Lau Shalita suggested that there is a tiredness that's not physical, but rather mental. It's the tiredness of someone who works constantly with no purpose. And his tiredness is that lack of joy. I believe, to dovetail on Rabbi Benny's words, in psychological terms, we call this burnout. And Esav lives focused in the present. The hunter feasts or famines in the moment. He was an ish tzayed, ish sadeh. Yaakov, on the other hand, sees a future, and thus he says he wants the Bechorah. Tiredness in the present becomes burnout if we don't see a purpose in what we're doing for the future. We have a responsibility in our lives to make sure that what we're doing has a future. So Esav responds to Yaakov, and he says, here I am going to die. Lama zoli Bechorah, why do I need to have the Bechorah? So Rabbi Lam contrasted the approach of Esav to death with that later of Yitzchak Avinu in the same parsha. The former sees death as the ultimate end. Esav says, I'm going to die, lama zeli bechora. And therefore he says, what I need to do is have a final fling. Let me go ahead and just get it all in now, before death hits. For the latter one, for Yitzchak Avinu, he uses his chance to die and his awareness that he's going to pass away to leave a legacy and to attach wayward souls back to their sources and to try to make things right. The fact of the matter is that in our lives we read about the person who decides that he's serving his last couple of days on earth. Does he spend it running around to do everything he always wanted to do? Or does he spend his time period preparing for a future, for an Olam Haba? That's the difference between a Jew and a Ben Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yitzchak as he's trying to figure out and go into Gerar. He says, look, because I'm giving the land to you and your children, and I'm going to fulfill the promise, the pact that I made to Avram. Then in the next pasuk he says, I'm going to give the land to your children. What happened to you and your children? And why the redundancy? So Moreinu, Rav Shechter Shalita, notes that the answer is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph notes that Zchus Avos has ended. And what Rabbeinu Tam comments in Tosus over there, that while Zchus Avos may have ended, but Bris Avos is still alive. And the difference, Rosh Hechter explained, is that Zchus Avos is based on love. Love for the people has an end point. when the children don't act like the parents and the children don't express the same love as the parents. But bris avos refers to a pact which allowed certain traits to be found in the children that were in the parents. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomli Chasadim. These midos are the children's, and thus the bris avos remains. And what the Torah was telling Yitzhak is that our right to Eretz Yisrael is based on two rights. Originally it was based on tzchus avos, but today a bris avos as well. And so therefore, even if tzchus avos is no longer present and prevalent, the bris avos is there to sustain the right to the land of Israel. The bulk of the parasha deals with the episode where Yitzhak Avinu asks for brachos. And as he introduces the issue, he calls to Esau b'no Agadol, and he says, Haveli matamim kasher hafti va'ochal b'avur tavachani nafshecha. That I want you to bring me the food that I love so that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, what was Yitzhak Avinu thinking? Why would he want to give a bracha to that Rasha, to Esav? How could it possibly make any sense? And Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal suggested in the path that many beyond him have suggested that Yitzhak Avinu envisioned a partnership between Esav and Yaakov to combine inner strengths in order to perfect the world. Material abundance and political domination would go to Esav, and Torah and spiritual destiny would go to Yaakov. Sforno adds that if this had worked, Esav would have ruled Gashmius and Yaakov Ruchnius. But what the problem with that system was, explains Rav Weinberg, was how Yaakov Avinu was to get Esav over, to get over his rishus, his evil ways. Yitzchak thought that merely being with Yaakov would inspire Esav to righteousness. Rivka knew that you don't give a reward to a Rasha before it's earned. Still, he adds, Yaakov's at fault for not doing that which he could to prompt Esav's tshuva. And of course, Kedarko Bakodesh, Doresh Nara Mekayim, Rabbi Weinberg noted that reaching out to a wayward brother is an obligation that exists on each of us, and when we fail at it, the failing is ours. We find that Yitzhak Avinu finds the man in his room and makes the declaration, HaKol Kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. And Ramban suggests that Yaakov even tried to disguise his voice, but still he refused to speak in the crude style of Esav. Why not? Once you're already going through the whole ruse, go through the ruse the whole way. So Rambam cited Rav Moshe Shtermach Shlita, who noted that there were certain steps that Yaakov Avinu just would not take. To speak crudely like Esav was out of the question, and Yaakov would rather be found out than speak to his father crudely. Rambam Zatzal added that we see how important the manner of speech is for each person, for that defines who and how we carry ourselves our entire lives. Then he gives the bracha V'yitein Lecha Elokim, and Rashi notes the bracha begins with above V'yitein, which goes to show us that V'yachzor V'yitein, he should come back and give it again. And the Ish Kodesh of Piasetzna, the Piasetzna Rebbe Hashem Yinkom Damav, asks where it comes back to be given again. How could you have a V'yachzor V'yitein? And he explains that one who loses an object, who constantly looks out after it, still constantly looks out. Hashem too looks for us. Not only when we're in plain sight, that's V'yitein, but even when we appear lost, Hashem turns around and seeks us. V'yachzor V'yitein. Finally, in the Haftorah, which comes from the book of Malachi this week, we read about the words, Ben Yechabedav ve'eved Adonav, that a son will honor his father, and a servant his master. Now, how did the pasuk begin with kibud and end with mora? When a servant honors his master, it's not because of responsibility of kavod, but rather because of a certain sense of fear. And yet we know that a son too has the obligation of mora avaim, as well as kavod. And servants too have the obligatory actions of kavod, but they do them as a result of yira. So where's the comparison between the two? What was Malachi talking about? The late great Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, noted that there's a difference between kibud and kvod. The former is active. It references the activities that must be done, even if motivated by yira. The latter is a reference to the motivation. So, for instance, when the Gemara and Sula and Kedusha notes that ish imo v'aviv tibero v'eshab so sai tishmor ani Hashem, that a man has a responsibility to honor his parents. The Gemara makes the determination that kulchem chayavim bichvodi, not bikavodi, because you're all obligated in all sorts of actions, but more importantly, you're all also obligated in the motivation of showing kavod as well. There is a strong difference in life between doing action and the way that the action is done. Two people can perform the same actions and with totally different motivations, and as a result, achieve two different results as well. Malachi is trying to honor us by realizing Ben Yechavadav, Ve'Eved Adonav, even though the activities will be the same, the motivations will be different, and the motivations for each in its right place brings out positive results in the future. Shabbat Shalom to all.